Hey, kingly brothers and heroic husbands around the globe. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. As always, our entire intention is with everything we do, we say, we express, is to support you becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's special episode, we welcome in the beautiful, the untamable, the unboxable, the unpredictable, the amazing, the stunningly beautiful Matilda Croscini, aka my beautiful queen. Amore mio, you're very welcome back on. Thanks for coming on again.
Good. I'm delighted to be here and I love the introduction. So yeah, that's good. That works.
That works. It's been a while since you were on the first time, and it wasn't a surprise, but it was actually very good feedback from myself just hosting this. The episode that we did together the first time, like, you know, obviously off screen, like the statistics of that was one of the most popular episodes I've had in. It definitely went, I think it went like 40% above the average listening per episode. So it really rung home to guys. Guys were very curious to listen in to the queenly wisdom, the queenly perspective. And today is going to be no different. And we're going to be talking about, what an absolute essential topic for us as husbands to lean into, which is navigating your queen's dreaded time of the month. And I just want to asterisk this. It was my beautiful queen. It was yourself that came up with that name. So it's a hook point, but it's a hook point name to get in. But actually, the whole content is going beyond this whole idea of the dreaded time of the month, just the social shame. This whole sort of BS story that has enshrouded the sacred cycle, the sacred experience of women, with such mystery that we end up fearing it, I think, like men and women, and it just gets enshrouded with a lot of confusion. So the aim of today is to, with your beautiful support, Amore mio, is to support myself as a husband as well, because I'm doing a deep dive with you as well. But guys listening in, to with your support, to demystify what the period is about for you as a woman, and by extension, obviously the guys, they're beautiful queens, and to ultimately give some bit of a roadmap as to what's the most powerful and conscious way that we can show up as men. Before we get into that, could you speak, please, to, I suppose I could call it like the societal shame of the period. There's this idea that like having a period as a woman is this major burden. There's no open heartedness about it. But could you speak to that? We'll go general, build a bit of context, and then we can get into the specifics.
Yeah. I'm going to be very brief on this because you could speak only on this topic for hours on end. But just to give a little bit of context. So everything at the moment in society and for many years now has been 100% aimed to get the woman believing that she has to hide the fact that she's menstruating, that she's bleeding, or even the fact that we call it period and we don't actually call it bleeding, that we don't call it menstruation, tells you already. Any commercial, any advertisement is telling us women to keep acting normal, keep doing exactly the same things that we were doing before, maintain the same levels of productivity. Clearly women trying to work and with success, of course, but getting more and more working the same way as men do, we had to embrace a linear approach, which meant we have to be productive every day of the month the exact same way men are. And that's just a fact. And also there's a lot of products, of course, that can be sold to women to feel less burdened by their menstrual cycle. So again, there's a lot of money involved in getting women convinced that they just have to be the same for the entire month, all year round, possibly try and avoid the period altogether. And that there's something inherently wrong in talking about it, in showing it. I have plenty of memories of being really, really worried that someone could know. And also we come from generations of women that have been through the same amount of shaming. So our mothers might not have brought us through learning about it and understanding it from a positive way, but we're bringing a lot of generational trauma in it as well. So all in all, women in general feel like they are a burden, without going into the whole, well, actually really important to go into the part of the emotional aspect to it, where I know we're going to talk to this, but there's lots of running jokes that, oh, she's just in her time of the month. Oh, it's that time again. Oh my God, what she's going to be up to now? What sort of shit she's going to give me this month? Because she gets too emotional, because she gets irrational, because, oh my God. So all of that is what we carry within every time that we're approaching those few days of the month.
It's so indicative there when you line it up like that. You know, this idea that you're meant to have the same productivity, it's linear, you know, all these products to support you in keeping linear, in keeping this, which is completely a masculine expression. You know, it's like we can sort of show up this with the same performance day in, day out within reason. There's obviously certain cycles there that we've been shamed out of feeling into, but in general, it's true to say, and like this same all year round performance, and even to avoid a period altogether, which is just it's so all pervasive, but it's just so catastrophically out of balance to even be thinking that, you know, with certain medications you can avoid it altogether, and that would be perceived as being, oh cool, like a cool result of such interventions. The thing that you actually brought up, like we were doing the little bit of a prep pre the conversation here this morning, you showed me two diagrams, which one demonstrated the men's cycle, which I never even thought, oh, I have a cycle. I never even dawned on me. But that the men's cycle compared to the women's cycle, it was hilarious to see the diagrams of it. Because the men's cycle I'll speak to, and then I'll pass the baton over to yourself to just to give some description of what the women's cycle looks like. The men's cycle is, it's one main hormone, testosterone. And 8 a.m. in the morning, there's the peak. It literally, like the diagram is, there's a peak at 8 a.m. in the morning. And then from 8 a.m. in the morning, where there's the peak of testosterone, there's just this slow progressive decline to the lowest levels of testosterone are at 8 p.m., which on an aside is giving me a lot of feedback as to why my sexual performance, by and large, has always been more enjoyable, more predictable, and yeah, more consistent in morning lovemaking. But that's the men's cycle. And that's just repeated pretty much on a daily basis throughout the year. And Maureen Mayo, can you give us some description of what the women's cycle, and I'm sort of laughing here because the diagram you showed me is like, oh my God, like the amount that that's going on there. Can you just fill me in again and fill the guys in on just what's happening with the women's cycle?
Yeah. So, well, the diagram was like a stormy ocean of multiple waves that apparently just looking at it made no sense. But it's because the women's cycle is way more complex. And it's fluctuating, is irregular and unpredictable, as we are, of course. And it's over a period of 30 days rather than a daily occurrence. So it's a monthly cycle. And it just goes in four main phases, which again, this is like very, it seems very black and white, but none of this is. It's very subjective to each woman and how she lives it, what she's been taught about it, how much she has informed herself, how much she follows this cycle, how much she's been honoring it. And so it's very subjective. But just to give a little bit of of an overview of it. So we have a phase that is called the follicular phase, in which usually the woman feels energized. And that's the phase just after the bleeding. So after the bleeding, there's the follicular phase. And the woman feels energized. It's the time where she would more naturally, if she was synchronized with this cycle, she would do things. She would feel more extroverted. She would feel more inclined to be out and to do things. Then this peaks with the ovulation, which is just a few days. And this is a time of great energy usually. And then from here, we start going into the down phase, which is not negative by no means, but that's what happens. The energy starts gently going down and turns a little bit more inward. So it's not even that there's less energy, but it's turned in a different direction. And that's your luteal phase that then prepares the woman for the few days of the menstrual phase, which is the actual bleeding. And this is a time where we used to go into caves. We used to go, you might have heard maybe about the red tent. If your woman is part of a women's circle, that's the time where we really want to be turning our attention inward. And that's the dreaded time of the month. That's the time of the month where when the woman does not honor these phases for lots of different reasons, or maybe she feels she can't, it can tend to get quite emotional because it's part of the reaction of not going with the cycle. But that is just to give an idea. So there's like four phases, and the energy levels and the emotional state, the physical, the mental state, everything within the woman is connected to these four phases. Even when she's on some medication and she's just avoiding it altogether, this cyclical nature will remain. That's just part of us. We can't take it out. So whether it's all happening naturally or is not, you will find, you will notice that these phases happen. I think that's enough for now on this anyways, unless you have questions.
There's two things jumping out at me that's so important. You know, maybe I didn't give enough context at the beginning. It's like, just obviously the podcast here is going out to men, husbands that are showing up powerfully. And if they're listening into the podcast, there's a lot of, you know, pure, beautiful, good intentionality. But it's so confusing. Mm-hmm. Our best intentions are pretty useless when you have no information on this and no explanation as to what's actually going on. So I often, you know, say to guys that I'm coaching one-on-one or in men's groups, you know, it's like part of our shaming growing up has driven us into leaning almost exclusively in the vast majority of guys, like the superpower is the rational mind. or the magician archetype. So when we understand a mechanism, it can really support our nervous systems in approaching a topic. And what was jumping out to my rational mind and magician archetype was, it's when you said it's not necessarily that our, you know, our women have less energy. It's just the energy is like diverted inward instead of outward in expression. That was really key. And when you linked the increased emotionality, it's not necessarily, well, like definitely the increased emotionality as is caricatured in, you know, unwitting jokes and comments and like in modern pop culture, etc. Like the increased emotionality is just like it's total craziness, and it can be quite radically unpredictable, etc. But that level of increased emotionality is because, you know, it's women have not been allowed to, or feel allowed to go with the cycle, so that sort of the rougher, harder parts that we classically say, oh, that's just part of the cycle, it's not necessarily true. It's more part a sign of the dysfunction of society and the general approach around it than being an inherent part of it. That for my mind goes, ah, okay, so as a husband, as a man, there's something I can work with. If I can support you as my beautiful queen to go with the cycle, or I can support you in some way, there is a much more wholesome outcome that can result. Are they fair enough observations?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one thing I wanted to add to that, when you said again about the energy turned inward. I am saying this, but many women are not actually aware of it. They will perceive what's happening to them as a lack of energy and as something to fight against. Again, going back to that programming that we still have to be productive, and also to the fact that sometimes we perceive like we don't have enough help or an effective enough help if our husband is not present, and this I know is stuff that you talk to. So we might feel like we cannot delegate, and so we don't have that capacity to allow the energy to turn inwards. And we just have to fight that. And that can bring a lot of imbalance. That can have a woman getting over the edge and getting, as you said, apparently crazy. But that craziness is a sign that what's happening is not in balance, that her cycle in general, her entire cyclical nature is not being honored. It's not that she is actually crazy. It's an expression. And if she can have the space, if she's given the space and time to feel into that and take that as a sign, then she can bring more balance to it. She can understand what requests she might even have of her husband to create a space that will help her move through the cycle in a better way.
Really liking that clarification there. The next curiosity I have, Amore, is, and maybe it's hard to go binary on it, but if we go sort of black and white, you know, if there again, guys, every guy listening in is listening in with an open heart, hopefully matched with, you know, an open mind. And if we can get some bit of a contrast in, you know, I think the first list I'd love your wisdom on and feedback on and insight on is like, what are the list of things that guys say we do that unwittingly, you know, without any shaming, there can be very easy. We just should know better. But I would build it in that, just for the understanding of guys, like in podcasts, I'll always say to us, like, there's zero shame. I think we're as much caught up in the shaming of this topic because if it has been shame for women, it has been shame for men. If nobody is allowed to access it or talk about it or anything, well, then we're just shrouded in a mystery. So I suppose, guys, you know, as always, whatever way you have been showing up, supporting your woman through this, you know, if in this conversation, you know, when Matilda goes a little bit, we'll go a little bit black and white in it. If you find yourself ticking all the boxes on the unwittingly, oh man, I've been screwing this up, you haven't been screwing it up. What has been screwed up is the story we inherited on it. You know, if your best intentions were coming off the mark, that's okay. That's infinitely okay. The whole point and purpose of this episode and every episode is it's not to have regret about what you have not done up until this point, is to empower you with a new paradigm and a new way of understanding going forward. So just keep it clean in the energy within yourself. No beating yourself up. It's very important for, you know, for women, men, that we just stop this societal thing of bashing ourselves. So the first list, Amore, if we can go and do a deep dive on that, like what's the list of signs that guys listening in can look out for that, whether they realize it or not, just is not helpful in supporting their beautiful queen go through this phase? And I suppose it's more particular, we'll probably hone in on, you know, the classic few days of bleeding. That's the classic time. I know there's a broader, beautiful awareness of the entire 30-day cycle, but if we hone in on, you know, their approach to those few days, maybe a few days leading up to it as well, what have you seen with the women you've been working with your own experience, of course, with, well, there was your boyfriends before me, but like bring the full heat on how I was showing up. I'm a bit more conscious now, but just bring the full heat. Let's get black and white. Every single guy listening in, we can take some black and white feedback on this. What list would show up live for you? And there's that evil laugh. That evil laugh, it was in the first episode I noticed. That's the first evil laugh of this episode. Good. Full permission.
Okay. So, well, definitely I would say that it's really important to completely get rid of any commentary that is so much fun to say in front of friends or in front of family, or even with your partner alone, there can be like a running joke about, oh, she's in that time of the month again. You're, what sort of crazy am I going to see this time around? So any of those comments, and I'm sure you know which ones I'm talking about. I can't think of any on top of my head because I haven't been subject to this in a good few years, thankfully. So, but it's really dreadful. Like that just strengthens and reinforces the programming that we're not meant to be natural and go with what's coming up. I'm just looking at the cat that is going to throw a heap of boxes on the ground. So I'm just saying it. apologies, but it's distracting me a little bit.
That's like the, which was the cat that, oh, was it when you were breastfeeding, there was one of the cats that would just like look over at you as he was shifting like a jug or a glass.
Yeah.
Which of them was that?
Sylvester is the exact same cat that is now looking at me beside a bunch of boxes and is just pushing them towards the edge. The exact same.
cute and cuddly, but the devil incarnated.
So yeah, no shaming. And I know that in your episodes you always talk about presence, masculine presence. I think very, very important is in this phase, not to take anything personal and be so grounded in yourself that you can hold space. It is not a phase in which you want to fix. You never want to fix, but definitely not in this phase. Tell her what to do, what not to do, the fixing energy really will not get a good reaction. And also what will not get a good reaction is if the man is ungrounded and undecisive and asking questions, you know, what should I wear today? Where should I put this? Should I empty the dishwasher for you? Well, I mean, you live in this house, damn do it. You know how the things work around here. That's probably the answer you're going to get. There's more bite to everything. And that's part of it. It's the understanding that that bite is not personal, as in it's not an out-and-out attack of you as a human being because you are a bad husband, but there is a truth in it too. It's like the filters are removed in those days. And so if she's been frustrated with you for a longer time on some topics, they are going to likely come out unfiltered, uncensored in those days. And so to understand that your presence has to be 11 out of 10. And I know you can unpack this from a man's perspective and clarify that. I am just giving you the woman's perspective on this.
There was one really crucial part in our prep that came up, and it really got it for myself. And I know I've heard when the topic does come up in men's circles, and it infrequently comes up, again, part of that shame, but it does come up. And when it does come up, very often there's this idea of disgust. Like it's a proper emotional charge within men where, you know, just seeing blood, just that whole idea. It's like, just don't show that to me. It's like, ugh. I know it's part of the shaming and the commentary, but I think the shaming commentary, there's a humor in it. But this is a distinctly different emotional tone. It's pretty obvious, or maybe it's not obvious, but it's pretty, you know, it's like, what does that convey to women when it's like, oh Jesus, like you want, make me want to vomit, like if there's blood in the toilet, or you know, if what comments come up, and what full flame comments come up?
Okay, so if I was in the middle of my period and or my menstrual phase, and you came to me and told me that that's disgusting, I would tell you to grow the hell up. I mean, it's just a bit of blood, but I'm not saying this in a judgmental way now of men obviously listening in, but that would be my growl. I would get extremely upset over it.
I'd just like to cut in there if you don't mind, but like, grow the hell up is not what you would verbally say to me. It would be a lot more spicy, the wording. Yeah, it's like,
well, that's... I'm trying to keep it polite.
Oh, you're keeping it polite. Oh, yes. You keep it polite for these guys, but not for me. That's okay. But that's okay. That's part of it. You keep these are not your kings. You're speaking with kings, but it's their queens that will give them the spicy stuff. But yeah, just to sort of, you know, guys, just to let you know, it's like I sort of say this laughing, but it's very true. You know, in men's circles, and I've done lots of, you know, coach training and stuff. I've had different guys at different points go to me. It's like, oh man. You know, like they've heard me, the work I'm doing. They've heard me. I speak with deep reverence of you, Amore Mio, and the marriage we have together. And I've had comments of, oh, you know, like it's sort of along the lines. The underlying thing that they're actually trying to say is, you have it easy. Like, I'm glad you had, you have it easy. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, clearly your woman is doing the work. And it's like, yeah, she's doing the work, but like her main work as a queen is giving me like roasting hot feedback. So it's, yeah, I just wanted to pepper that
in.
I
actually want to say there exactly, like a woman that does the work, the growl is going to exponentially increase. My work has been learning actually that I was allowed to give hard and direct feedback and growl as much as I felt the need to. So, which is not insulting or attacking, but is that type of feedback. And when you do the work during that phase of the bleeding, that can come out, and it's actually meant to. It's okay. If she's very, I don't know, if nothing happens and you don't even notice that she's bleeding, well, there's concerns there, I would say. There could be exceptions, but as a general point, it means there's so much that she's not expressing, and she's actually learned, like mastered, how to suppress her own growl, her own emotions, and that's not good, that's not healthy, it's gonna come out in other ways. So it's really to keep an eye on, for sure. And going back to the disgust point, that's really hurtful. That's actually really hurtful. And what that does when it's in the home environment, it's gonna stifle her capacity to actually explore. There's about a million things that a woman can do to befriend her menstrual cycle, heal all the woundings and trauma that are connected to it. And we, if you want, we can speak to it or not. Like if I was doing an episode for women, I would of course speak to all these ways or some, but if the man is very close-minded and speaks of being disgusted by it, doesn't want to see it, doesn't want to hear about it, well, that's really difficult. And when I went to a school of mysteries, which talks about the menstrual cycle, the mystery of the woman is all around her cycle. I was told that a lot of the stuff that we were talking about as women should not be told to men. And at the time, I thought this was really unhealthy. I have to say that in my own experience with you, it's only when I actually started explaining to you and giving you the chance to understand that things really started happening, that I could then feel more and more comfortable in speaking to it and expressing what was going on, and also in doing the different things that have helped me heal my relationship with my own cycle, which the vast majority of women need to do. They need to heal that relationship. Regardless of their husbands, it's an inner work for a woman to heal that relationship. But if the space is not safe to do that, that's going to be really difficult. So allow her to speak to it, and I think the husband himself should get information on it. But definitely, when it comes from the source, like his woman, it's going to be really important information, because it's going to be subjected to her experience, which is what counts in within the context. And so if you feel disgusted and if you're having childish reactions every time she mentions it, that's going to be very unhelpful and hurtful. And also, of course, it's going to create a lot of problems down the line if you have daughters, which is really important too. So
when you speak about daughters, there was, I mentioned this, I was actually all teared up with my men's group one week. This is a few months ago, but it was our eldest, Anya, and like she has been experiencing her cycle. I don't know, is this like over a year? Could be a bit more. I'm actually three years, excuse me. Mm-hmm. My God, I'm totally just... Chronologically, that's not like a lack of awareness of her timing. I think chronologically, I struggle with getting the exact precise times. Anyway, beyond that, I remember being all teared up because there was one morning she came to the bedroom and I think she'd asked for a hot water bottle and I got it. But it's like there was a part in my mind, you know, and this is just holding presence for, you know, what's life, not judging my own self. But I remember it was like, I think she'd gotten me up maybe an hour earlier than I was meant to be getting up. And there was a part I was just like in a deep sleep, woken up from it. So I remember having you know, some thoughts of, or just a background energy of, ah, oh, you know, it's like, oh, just been woken up like this. And there was a feeling of, this is inconvenient. Now, I didn't speak it to her, but that energy was there. But I remember going up with the hot water bottle to her in the bed and just seeing, and more importantly, feeling into what her experience was in that moment. It was so intense. And like, I'm even just like just tearing up here because like the memory comes back. She was so gracious. She was experiencing such intense, I'm assuming muscle cramps, and there was such an intensity of what she was experiencing. And it was this beautiful power in her that she could find such grace to experience it with. Like, there was no part of her was in that moment. She has many different moments, but I just witnessed like her becoming a woman. It was like, oh my God, this is what it's about. And like this happening on a monthly basis, it's like I got it. I think it's like I got it. Maybe it was like the innocence of, you know, like it was just witnessing, you know, a child going through it, her first few years of going through this experience. It just blew my mind open, and more importantly, my heart open. I know I have been completely different since that moment with you, with her, and just on the topic of it. So yeah, I just wanted to share that, you know, when you mentioned, like, especially with daughters, it's so important. That was like a definitely a life-changing moment for me as a man in deepening, really, with a quantum leap of depth of my paradigm, how I was approaching the topic.
And when you mentioned the pain and the cramps and all of that, it's really also very important. If, you know, among the men listening in, there's husbands that actually have been trying to be helpful, have been trying to understand their woman and within that context and all of that, which I'm sure there are plenty. You might have observed that your wife goes like, suffers quite a bit within those days, and that there's a lot of physical pain on top of the emotionality. There can be multiple different reasons, of course, for this happening. There's like actual physiological reasons and stuff, but it does not have to be a suffering. And a lot of the time, the suffering is because there's wounding, there's trauma in there. There is a relationship with the cycle itself that the woman has not approached, has not worked with, has not healed. And so again, you can't do the work for her. That's not your job. But understanding this will help you providing the space. You know, if you can hold space, if you can do like what you were saying, if you can just provide the hot water bottle without making her feel inconvenient. That's a word that every time you mention it, I have felt inconvenient for a very big part of our relationship. And it's such a hurtful thing. It's so hurtful. So when we can clear this energy, when there isn't an inconvenience, but really, truly, not just you're pretending and deep down you have all the commentary going, it's a true thing, then that space is provided, and then she can heal that relationship with her own cycle. And you will see that there won't be as many issues. She won't suffer it as much. She won't have a need for as many medications if she's taking them or all of that, the more that space is provided.
You know, when you mentioned there, and it's like, it's not new to me, obviously with this work, but when you mentioned, oh, I have felt an inconvenience for the majority of this relationship, and it is a majority, I keep pointing to like first 12 years, and I know I was coming from that paradigm, but just to be totally honest with you and with the guys listening in, like, I had a jolt of grief that just rippled through my body. I'm actually quite emotional in this moment. And it's so true. Not just, I think actually for both partners, what's coming up for me more is, you know, the period or the menstruation, those few days, it shows up where, you know, for our women, where life is at or not at, where we as husbands are at or not at. But I really think it really shows up our general approach as men. I think it's an initiation for us once a month that really shows where we're truly at with our women. Because when you said that thing about, you know, like for the majority of your marriage so far, like you've been made feel like you're inconvenient. I get it. I own that. That's true. That's a part of my nervous system. A part of my mind was perceiving you as an inconvenience. But the beautiful, I suppose, mirror that the period gives us as men is it will really let you know, like, if you're perceiving your woman as being inconvenient during those few days, well, that you're perceiving her as being inconvenient all of the 30 days. It's just, it reveals that paradigm. It reveals that there's some handbrake in you that's just not fully open-heartedly loving and fully accepting the fullness of your woman in front of you. I just wanted to reveal that because it's just coming really live. My whole intuition, my whole body is actually buzzing at the moment with that realization.
That makes sense. It makes sense. It's a magnifying glass on your inner world reality all year round. And it's actually a blessing because if you think about it, you get to have that reality check once a month, without which we're not talking about that now, but if that's not honored, the reality check is going to hit you when she hits menopause. Because again, that's another, and again, it's not the topic now, it's a dreaded moment. It's another one that's shamed in any way, shape, or form so much. And women feel so ashamed about it so much that they deny that they're getting into that phase and they just get very upset and blah, blah, blah. But it's a culmination. If you haven't honored the monthly cycle for a lifetime together, and if the woman hasn't had the space to honor it within herself for her own life, then it hits when it gets that time. That's the culmination. And if you think the waves of the diagram that you've seen for the monthly cycle were messy and really hard to understand, when you get to the menopausal period, well, that just gets even more messier, even messier. So
I just want to build in some context here for guys. Okay, so what we're dealing with, if I'm hearing you correctly, Amore, we've got the challenge of maybe 3-4 days, maybe with a little bit more lead up time.
Yeah.
Of once a month, if we can learn to embrace that, but that's just a 3 or 4 day, you know, every month, 3 or 4 days, crank down, 11 out of 10 presence, be there, you know, nothing is an inconvenience. I'm there for you, my beautiful queen, with my whole being. The alternative is, I'm always like the Jaws theme music comes up. It's like, be afraid, be very fucking afraid, because it's either choose. It's like this either or thing. It's like either choose, guys, to embrace now while you still have time, 3 or 4 days per month. And if you get really good at that, which you can, we're going to like weaponize you with powerful paradigms and tools here, but before the end of this conversation, but you have a choice. Master the 3 or 4 days per month, or else the reality check is menopause. Just get me up to speed, Amore, and get guys up to speed. Excuse me for my ignorance, but like clock time, how long can the menopause last?
Menopause, it's a process that goes on for years. So just to get you up to speed, I mean it already. it starts with the late 30s and it goes on progressively until the phase that we currently are more familiar and call as the actual menopause, which is the end of the menstrual cycle. So it gets very regular, it gets very messy, and then eventually stops. And there's a whole lot of emotional stuff that happens to a woman that has felt inconvenient all her life. At that point, you become even more inconvenient because you're not even able to have kids anymore. So you're completely useless from a biological point of view. And, you know, going back to generational trauma, there's a ton of baggage that we carry on that. So that's without putting a husband into the picture, just within ourselves as women already. But obviously, if the relationship has been messy, if she hasn't felt seen, understood, witnessed, if she hasn't felt she had a grounded masculine presence beside her, if she hasn't felt safe, if you thought that when she was in the menstrual cycle you were meeting a tiger, that was just a cub. The tiger's coming.
Oh my. It's so funny. Yet it's so true. That's why it's funny. That's why it's like, you know, be afraid, be very afraid, guys. And, you know, the masculine core is like, just get black and white. I know coaching guys and in men's circles with guys, the guys that really take to it, most guys do, but it's like, it's just when you get black and white, it's like, guys, it's either or. You either master, and I know this is my experience firsthand, when I was avoiding, you know, those few days like the plague, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, oh, I do it, but like totally with that fixing energy, because I was like, you know, any emotionality that was uncomfortable, like I was dancing around it like it was hot coals. But only when I started embracing it, did the sort of the rough, hard edges that I thought was an inherent part of it, did they dampen down? It's actually some of the most beautiful points of the month for me are actually when you and Maureen Mia, when you're in that phase. Because it's sort of funny. It's like when you are brought within, it just reconnects you with this deep emotionality. Yes, it's intense, but I actually feel you way more at that point, because I'm more receptive at that point. It's this beautiful reset, which sets me up deeply connected with you and for the rest of the month. But the context is, guys, the black and white part that I wanted to speak to is, you either master that or you go through potentially like hell on earth through the menopause, like maybe those ending phases of it. But like it, you're talking about years, and I just have a long list of, I haven't went through it. It's with you, albeit I have to smile here. I want to be fully transparent with you, Amore, and with guys listening in. This has been a beautiful conversation for me in many senses, because I didn't know technically you were already in the menopausal phase. So I just want to be fully transparent. It's like, cool. Wow. That's a beautiful awareness. You're already in there. I'm glad I'm getting up to speed. But beyond that, I have so many stories that I've heard from guys in just down the years where it's truly catastrophic what hits in marriages, what hits men in marriages. That I know it happened. I saw it at home before leaving the nest. I've heard it in so many circumstances where you step in. I know my brother was talking about one time with his girlfriend at the time, but it's like her mother was going through it at the phase, and it's like she was like just an absolute antichrist with the father, which from a point of ignorance, there again, from an absolute point of ignorance, who becomes the villain? It's the woman. But knowing the mechanisms behind it, it's like, you know, unwittingly, because, and there again, it's no shaming of these guys of previous generations, our dads and the guys that we would want to have modeled this consciously, they just didn't have any information. But ultimately, they were getting the absolute brunt of severe backlash on a regular basis because they weren't showing up for decades as men, supporting their women to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel safe, you know, presence as a guy. It was like they didn't even have the idea. So it's no shaming of them, but like it's just, I just wanted to speak it with radical directness. I have heard multiple stories of how downright shitty and catastrophic that can be. And like to guys listening in, you know, what have you witnessed? Like if your parents were still together or with stepdads, when your mother went through that phase, what showed up in you? So vicariously, like the best lesson learned, I suppose, ultimately, the best lesson learned is a lesson you can learn that somebody else went through that can prevent you going through that again. That's the ultimate, my ultimate aim as podcast host here is today that you can get the point. You can get, oh, wow, if I don't actually embrace, you know, the 3-4 days per month now and get good at it, it's going to hit me like a thunderbolt, like a tsunami for years. And then you're going to be trying desperately to get up to speed with it. It's much easier now. That's just, that's my rant over, Amore. what I'm looking for now, and you've sort of been building it in naturally, but like we've got this beautiful list of stuff that unwittingly we do that's not supportive, that is going to gain us more of a backlash. I'll like just super quickly, I've been taking loads of notes here, like shaming it. All the comments you were saying, like, oh, is it that time of month again? Ha, ha, ha. You know, oh, what sort of crap? All of that. Like, black and white, it's bullshit. Just don't, like, if I'm hearing you correctly, just don't do it, dudes. Don't do it, guys. Fearing the feedback. You know, just taking it personal. You know, it's like, oh, Jesus, she's on my case and she's criticizing me so much. Just rip that out of it. Stop taking it personal. The disgust element of it, it's super hurtful. Any comments, any grimaces on your face about blood or references to period, menstruation, et cetera, that's deeply hurtful. It's just a no-no. Any idea or any paradigm or attitude, and this is just to become aware of like subconscious attitude, get really aware of this is inconvenient, will be picked up every single time without fail that your woman is inconvenient to you. It's a really unwitting but deeply unloving thing. Delegation, you know, like just don't be asking questions. Like the sort of, it's not a time for indecisiveness. Oh, here, will I do this? It's like, if you see it, step into leadership. It's more the list that's going to come. But just this whole indecisiveness and projecting a lot of decision-making onto your beautiful queen during those days, just make the decision yourself, trust yourself and go with it. And then ignorance of knowledge, you know, just this idea that like you've never been taught, school didn't teach you, your parents didn't teach you, the church didn't teach you, society didn't teach you. Like that's not an excuse. You've got to upgrade. So might have mentioned them all, but there's that list of just don't go there, guys. And become aware if you are going there by habit, that's okay. But just snip those out. Hack away, ruthlessly hack away the non-essential, as Bruce Lee said. So, Bellissima, shifting from that list, you've sort of mentioned quite a few of them anyway, mm-hmm. but just let's get explicit here. You know, if guys were listening in and like they're now sort of in the driving seat, they're like, oh, okay, man, you know, I'm on board. I don't want fucking 10 years of like mayhem, you know, when she reaches menopause and gets into the thick of it. I get it. I've got to embrace this. What's the list of, guys, if you're embracing this 10 out of 10, this is how you can show up to have an incredibly positive influence, not just on your woman and her experience of it, but your experience of it as a couple, your experience of it as a man, and by extension, your whole family, your whole family's environment will be a more beautiful and loving space as a result. what advice or guidance would you be giving guys? And again, I just keep asking, like, just giving you full permission. Get fucking black and white with the guys. You know, like, what are the things where... Get black and white. I actually think I want you to get black and white with them like you get black and white with me.
Oh, my God.
Bring it. Bring it full fire. These are powerful guys in. They get it every single episode with me. So bring full fire. Where do they need to show up?
Well, what's been coming for me is what can be done, as a positive. So we've spoken to all the things not to do, and I actually love the summary you just gave. It was very clear. But there are lots of things that you can do, obviously, that are positive within that. And the first one is to get curious about it. So some women will be very open to speak to this, and some women might actually find it really awkward at the beginning. They might feel it is strange that they'd even discuss this with you. So you need to be very curious and respectful. But like one of the first super practical things I know men like, very practical things, is know when it's about to happen. And I don't know, for in our family, we have a calendar in the kitchen that everyone can see where when my bleeding time comes and when my daughter's bleeding time comes, it's circled. So everyone can look at that. And I know still sometimes it catches you by surprise, which is one of those moments when I'm like, dude, you could just look at the bloody calendar and you would know. You know, so
I was saying give the guys feedback, not me. I come on to this to just, like, you know, just divert your feedback to the guys. Now I'm taking it. I do get disconnected from the whole calendar thing, and I will own that as feedback. This is beautiful feedback. I do disconnect from the calendar. It's more from your reports. But that's just a beautiful bit of black and white feedback, you know, and I need to empower myself more by keeping a real ear to the ground on it, because you have it there explicitly. So joking aside, taking on the feedback.
If that doesn't happen, if that's something that your woman does on her own journal, on her own diary, you can ask, can we actually have it? And not because you make the joke that you want to be warned, so you're prepared for what's coming, because that's not going to go down well. Again, it's that running joke, shaming, and so on. It's because you're genuinely curious, because you have listened to this. You can refer to this episode. Maybe you can even listen to it together. But that you are curious. You have understood that there's things that you can improve on, that you can help her with, that you can support her with. And knowing when that time is coming helps, because it's like it shows that you are genuinely interested in being there as a witness and supportive, which is what, whether she knows it or not, she is looking for. So that's like one major thing. I think that alone can literally turn the entire thing around. If then, once you have, because this can backfire really quickly, because if you ask to do that and she actually starts circling in big bright red on the calendar when it's coming and then you don't notice it, well, that will not go down well. So make sure that then you actually keep in line with that intention. Write your own diary, put an alarm on your own phone or whatever.
I'd speak to that, like, if I may. It's a really potent point.
Yeah.
Because I know myself, you know, there's so much sort of Mr. Nice Guy stuff out there, which is like, you know, there can be this part which is, oh, it's the good intentions. So I caricature is like, I'd be a good little boy. There's this feminine validation. It's like, oh, you know, I've listened to this, I'm a good boy, I'm going to do this once a month, but if you don't back that shit up, you're going to magnify the feedback that's going to hit you in the face. Because it's like, if you've listened to this, your woman will rightfully crank up her expectations of you. and there's no going back. And this is part of, like, this is part, like, the masculine part in me, you know, directly challenging you guys listening in, is your masculine core gets turned on. Like, sexually, we talk about being turned on, like, oh, sexually turned on, but it's like to sexual energy, to the libido of life, to what it means to be a man, to be a powerful husband. Kingliness is embracing that flame of feedback, is embracing, like, the challenge from your woman. And there is no going back. You know, like, if you show her a new baseline of what you're capable of, you know, you show her, it's like, oh, full presence, and you do it for a week because it's live and this podcast episode, but then next month you drop off, that's going to hurt her. And so it should. So, but this is part of the inspiration. This is part of Be the Husband She Brags About. She's not going to fucking brag about you if you do it like it's a once-off, one-hit wonder. You did a Mr. Nice Guy. Oh, great intentionality. Mommy should just give me a little bit of praise now, you know, because I've been a good boy. That's fucking bullshit. Excuse me. Whereas, like, made me feel a bit. But this is just like getting real. I like, there's a part, my beautiful queen, Matilda, she's bringing heat. But there's masculine heat. We need to get fucking real within ourselves on this. Bring, like, meet this challenge, but set it as a way of life. It's not just a once-off Mr. Pleasing Boy, I'll get nice validating feedback from my woman because I'm loving her. No, this is a new reality you're gifting yourself, your family. Just had that bit of heat coming through me off the back of what you were saying, Amore. What else?
Yeah, brilliant. And riding on the back of that, the next thing is keep the conversation going. So again, yes, the first step is to know when that happens and be aware of it and be fully present with that, with the dates. Bear in mind that, yeah, those dates are indicative, but it can happen the day before, the day after. So you gotta be on your, you know, on alert in and around that date. But also just go, okay, so what can I do for you? What, like, maybe this is a conversation to have beforehand, so outside of that time, because in that moment she will growl if you ask a question like that more than likely. But just what would be helpful, and also tell her explicitly and mean it that you are open to receive feedback, that you will embrace it, and then do your own inner work as to, okay, that came a bit harsh. I need to understand that there was a lot of load, but actually there is a gift within that load. That's your work. Especially at the beginning, this is, you know, it can, I don't want to say that it's going to get less messy, but it's going to get easier to navigate for both parts when this is part of the conversation, when you're speaking to it. When you are actually getting curious, you are listening, you are taking whatever feedback comes, you're taking... The dog is sneezing. I'm sorry.
Here. We might just leave that in. I actually love this sort of welcoming every single soul that's listening in to our maniac sociopathic cat that just self-destructs everything around. Our dog that's having a sneezing. Is he okay at this point?
He's okay, yes, he's fine.
Okay.
So, so speak to it and have it as a part of the conversation. And listen, that's what I was saying. I just lost track with the dog sneezing. And be open to feedback. And embody all of that, not just in those few days, but throughout the entire month. Because if you are open and embracing feedback and open to the conversation in the weeks that come up to it, then that time, it's going to be, it's going to be easier. It's not, because something else will come up, but it's going to be a layer deeper, which is going to unpack more. It's going to be an evolution in the relationship rather than going around and around and around in circles on the same usual topics and the same bullshit all the time because you haven't stepped up and she hasn't felt comfortable and safe to express.
Yeah, I'd actually speak, because I think this is part of this beautiful dynamic here, and it's important to state this, because it's part that we can miss out on. Is there is a male masculine perspective on this. I'd actually say, you know, what you were saying, it's like, oh, well, it mightn't be less intense, or it mightn't be necessarily less or more easy. My personal experience in Moray has been, it's been radically easier.
Okay.
For within myself, and I think this is part of this beautiful thing that happens in relationship, where I don't think it's less intense for you. I imagine that's where you're speaking from. You know, the emotional waves, I've seen it, like, they're actually, I just want to honor you directly, like, coming into this. The reason we're doing this episode now, I meant to give the context in the beginning, was you're just coming out the far side, might be the last day or so of bleeding. And it was from an incredibly potent, intense waves that were coming through you yesterday, that it was like, wow. You know, I was navigating that as a husband, holding space, finding that conscious humor, just finding just ways to support you in it. But it was like really, you had a really intense day yesterday. And yet my experience of it was actually like radically simple. It was very easy. I have to say, and like, this is the bit I want the guys to get as husbands. Like, when you embrace it fully, you know, your conscious masculine core, guys, your experience can be, when you train your nervous system, when you start doing the practices, I'm going to pepper it in, heroic husbands, men's circles, they're coming online. They're online men's circles. We're going to be deep diving into this and preparing your nervous system to be able to show up with that presence. Not just for this time in the month, but for every single challenge in marriage. But when you do train your nervous system and you get these paradigms in as a way of life, guys, it's like a different lifetime. The first 12 years, and it's not that I just suddenly switched on. I've been slowly but surely over the last couple of years. So it's like, I think yesterday, I need to honor myself and honor you, Amor Mio. Like, we've been working on this diligently, incessantly over the last number of years, to get me up to speed, to get my nervous system up to speed, so I'm there supporting, I'm not fixing, showing leadership, receiving feedback, oh shit, I haven't been looking at the calendar, I need to get up to speed with that, but just bring a humor in that. I just want guys to get that point. Your perspective is, it can actually become one of the most beautiful parts of your month. Because I know myself, since my paradigm has deepened, to start perceiving the incredible wisdom that's coming through, Matilda, coming through you and Maria Mio. Like, there yesterday, you know, the intensity of what you were experiencing, I was like feeling really actually turned on, like the libido was in me. I was feeling really in my power when I was saying to you, it's like, hey, like, you know, there was a part, there was a moment when you were sort of like, because it was that intense what you were going through, it's like the old habits, I suppose maybe there was a reveal of old trauma patterns. Predominantly, you give the feedback now unapologetically. But in that moment, there was a little bit like you were trying to sugarcoat it to make it more comfortable for me. I remember just embracing going, hey, baby, bring it. I want to hear it direct. I'm safer. I want it black and white. If you give it to me black and white, then I can know exactly where you're at and I can understand and I can course correct myself. And that's much easier. So yeah, I don't want to take up too much time, but guys, it can, and it absolutely gets so much easier that you can find this switch where it's go time. You know, like I remember Kobe Bryant saying, it's like, you know, whatever his issues were off court, is like when he was going on court, it's go time. It's just go time. He just get into that zone. When you get into that sort of a phrase, like Matilda mentioned earlier on, it's like it's 11 out of 10 presence. That masculine competitive part of you is like, I'm here. I'm here now. These days, like whatever about the rest of the month, you want to have 11 out of 10 presence all the time. But these days, this is where, like, it's go time. This is competition time. This is like, you know, the challenge has been put to you. Where are you standing as a man? So I'm feeling a lot of energy, baby. I just really wanted to give like a male masculine core perspective. It does get easier for us.
I love that. I actually think it's wonderful to hear that. I think, again, what speaks when it's still that story of shame. Oh, I better tell them that it's still might going to be messy because, you know, it's just, there's so many layers of it. So yeah, it's part of feeling like I can feel it intense and messy, and it can actually be easier to navigate for you. And that's part of the dance, and that's wonderful. So yeah, I love that.
I'm just so, you see, when we talk about this, my heart just cracks open. It really does, because when you're there again saying, and like, we've so much work, but this is beautiful. It's like we're live on air, but it's like so much coming true. It's like my heart just softens so much when I hear that, you know, there's still these parts of you. And I know there's tons in me, but these parts in your female experience of this lifetime, that's like this idea that you're a burden or an inconvenience, and that there's some part of you trying to tidy up the external world so that you're less of a burden. And I know that's a real universal female experience. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there's the collective, there's different sugar and spice, or there's a different seasoning for every individual experience of that, of course, but it's quite universal. So yeah, I just want to share that. I'm just, my heart, I'm soft and glowing. There's a lot of love for you. And by extension, there's a lot of empathy for so many couples, you know, like guys listening in, and definitely, you know, listen to this episode together. I think that was a beautiful, beautiful guidance or advice if you choose to follow it. But so much empathy for the totally unnecessary struggle that this has become in modern life as a result of absolute ignorance of, you know, all the different social dynamics. I've spoken to them before, I don't want to bore you, but there's a lot of history of suppression of the feminine principle in women predominantly, but also of feminine in men. It's the suppression of feminine, this overemphasis on masculinity, linearity, productivity, industrial revolution, you know, you've got to be productive 24/7 for the economy to work, etc., etc. That has bastardized so much of the soft open-heartedness that I'm experiencing now with you. But yeah, I'm just, there's a lot of feeling in this now. This is why I said let's speak to this today, because it can bring, if we can course correct this as husbands, and by effect, bring that ripple effect to our beautiful women, and just see them as like, just not inconvenient at all. There's so much healing in families, in marriages, but like in society at large. So yeah, I'm feeling really inspired with lots of love, baby. What we've been through. So my notes, I have like a page of notes. I think I'm going to have to go to a second page here. This second potent, beautiful list for guys to lock in on. I'll read back where we've got thus far, a little bit of a summary, and if there's other stuff that's coming up. So it's this, like, number one is to celebrate it. It's a reality check once every month. If there's shit going down that your woman just mightn't have told you, she mightn't have been fully aware, but if it's been locked in her subconscious mind, she hasn't found the time, she's going to let you know. So embrace it is what I'm hearing in what you're saying, is if us guys can embrace that and embrace the gift of that, and, you know, be open, consciously open to receive feedback. What you were saying is like, tell your wife, tell your woman throughout the month, build it, pre-pave it with like, hey, I'm open to receive feedback, and hey, I'm not going to take anything personal. And you back that shit up. You don't take it personal. And if it comes a little bit hot and heavy, because definitely in the beginning, you know, I said that it gets easier. It does get easier. But in the beginning, there can be a lot of like packed tension and a lot of fear that maybe you're going to give a bit of kickback. just find a diamond in the rough, guys. The other thing you were saying is know when it's about to happen. Don't do like what I have been given feedback live on this call. Don't lose track of when it's going to happen. Get conscious with your woman. You know, beyond this conversation here, and the second thing there was like listen to the episode together. A great idea. Just getting the same hymn sheet. It's a really safe way to introduce your beautiful queen to it. You can vicariously, you know, she can spit her vial at Mark. You know what Mark is saying? Rather than you sort of, you know, Chinese whispers, maybe getting your version and it mightn't land. But if you want to just embrace that conversation yourself, have full trust in your own words as well. So know when it's about to happen. Have the conversation outside of the moment. Again, Amorimia, you were like saying that beautiful thing, like don't be asking how you support and drawing up a big battle plan in the middle of those few days. It's like when it's less intense, I suppose, for your wife, have that open conversation. It's like, hey, baby, I want to approach this a bit different. I've listened to this podcast. I want to like approach this consciously. How can I support you? That's going to be most meaningful for you in those days. What's showing up for you? And getting curious, educate yourself, get curious, have those conversations. Bellissima, are there any other elements that you'd like to speak to? It's already really potent what's coming through, but is there anything that we are missing here?
There's another couple of things. One thing that is really important that came up now when you were talking is that to understand that during the menstrual phase, so during the bleeding time and a couple of days before that, literally the woman is really not I always get confused between which part of the brain is which, but the part of the brain that is more scientific, practical and rational kind of switches, not off, but dampens a little bit. And the part of the brain that is more intuitive and very much more feminine, that is the one that comes forward, which means that a lot of tasks around the house, a lot of practical things, she's less inclined, and also they take a lot more effort. So that again is something to practice the entire month, so that when you come to the time, you are actually prepared. You're part of the same system. You live in the same house. You know where stuff is. You know the run of the mill. Once to assume you do. I've seen a lot of running jokes where men don't even know where the washing machine is located in the house. They don't even know what an iron board actually is. They don't know where the nappies for the baby are kept. That's not on. That just, you need to be up to speed with everything practical, even if are not the tasks that you usually do, because you've decided in your own way of running the house and running your marriage that you don't do those things because you have other things that you do and she doesn't, but that you know how those things work so that in that time you're able to fill in for her where she needs. And again, you can ask what would she like to drop as activities in those days that she finds most taxing in those days so that you can fill in for her. That's really important.
I just love that one. And again, it's just my masculine core when you're saying that. It's like just I'm switched on. Guys, if you think this is like too much on your shoulders, or it's like it's whatever, this is just powerful leadership. You know, I enter every single episode consciously with reminders of the identity I'm wanting you guys to take on board. You can have your own meaning to it or your own words to it, but it's like, hey, you know, every episode, kingly brothers and heroic husbands, they're identities of leadership. Powerful leaders. I'm just remembering there was one guy, like a billionaire, on top of his like amazing amount of different companies in that. And he was saying, it's like, again, it's embodiment of powerful leadership. It's like he knows the rudimentary workings of everything that's happening in his company. If he gets somebody, a new expert on, he'll get that fella to just give him like, you know, a quick meeting of like what's the basic things he needs to be aware of to know what that operation is about. So at any given moment, in any given crisis, this guy as a powerful CEO can step in and lead. So I'm just saying this is not an unfair task that you're being asked on. It might be a quantum leap from what where your dad showed up, your stepdad, the generations before. That's because that shit didn't work. You know, that just didn't work. But what is being asked of you is leadership. And that's not unfair. That's an honor and a privilege. Just a bit of that masculine fire I wanted to bring, baby. I'm really feeling on fire with this episode.
Yeah, that's actually, it's good because that's exactly how we feel. It's not unfair. it's just, that's what we do. And then another thing, this might be a bit provocative for some, and I know it can be very provocative also for some women, but touch and all that goes with that, it has a really powerful effect. So like in that phase, which is lovely all year round for the entire month, but in that phase, there can be a lot of things that you can explore together. And obviously this has to be part of a very open conversation, because otherwise it gets uncomfortable. But like massages and everything, like all the way to sexual interactions within, before the bleeding time and even during the bleeding time, can be amazing for women to release tension. And actually it has beautiful effects also on the likes of cramps and all of that kind of stuff. So, and it can slowly build up so that the men that maybe the ones that are at the moment feeling like that's absolutely disgusting, I will never be able to do that without forcing the issue, but it can begin to open up your mind, even just engaging in a conversation about it and then see where that goes, because there are incredible benefits to that. It really can be a wonderful experience. And also it brings the level of intimacy and bonding to a whole new level. So I thought I'd put that there.
Oh, that's beautiful. I actually had written down here as like a next point, but you just, there's the telepathy, baby. We're just as like, we're there. What I wrote down was praise of blood. And it was like, if it doesn't come up, I really want to speak to that. So you're just there. It's like, again, and again, remember on the other list, this is the contrast, disgust. The opposite is like in praise of blood. I know that like there's been so many different practices you have done. Might not have time to go into them. That's more like a conversation for, you know, you with women directly. But some of the practices, like you've been painting with your blood, you've been following a beautiful teacher online that is like does amazing art with her, the blood from her cycle, and doing face masks with it, amongst many other different practices. Like the face mask, like literally fresh blood from the cycle. And I still remember the first time. I was like, you came in, and I remember there was this beautiful tenderness and I suppose vulnerability with you, because it was like this was a real edge practice for you at that time. It's become like pretty, I don't mean standard in a, that it's not sacred, but it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's like, just if you're meditating, I'm not going to get shocked. If you're doing that, I'm not going to get shocked. It's like it's a part of our way of life. But yeah, I want to bring that forward, guys, you know, to that end. There was in my life growing up, that level of openness, never. It was never mentioned. Sex wasn't mentioned. I know of talking with my sister, like growing up, it's like there was nothing mentioned. It wasn't mentioned to us as boys. There's three boys, one girl, but it's like all of that stuff was not mentioned. So it's not that my nervous system had this like total open-minded thing to it. It didn't. But it's been really beautiful as a man to witness you and Moray just like doing these practices and leading in the honoring of that. So yeah, I set the gauntlet again to guys to, you know, a beginner's mind is an open mind. It's open to anything. You know, the baggage of the story that you and I and us collectively as men, now as powerful husbands, have inherited it doesn't work. Like, it's just to get, it's, it doesn't work. That doesn't mean we're dysfunctional, but we just inherited a dysfunctional story that has been creating disconnection. So it's under the gauntlet. Like, how open can you be in your praise of blood as a man? Have we missed anything else, Amori? We're coming into landing soon here. So any last power pack points?
I think this is really wonderful. Just a little thing came to mind now when you were saying that, that I would like to add, which is like, it is a relationship that needs to be healed, the relationship with the cycle. And it's, for, first of all, of course, I'm saying this for, I know that there are some women that are listening to this, and also if you're bringing your wife on board, listening together to the episode, I want to say this for the women. It is first and foremost the relationship that needs to be healed within you, like you and your own cycle, you and your own blood. For that to happen, you need to be able to see the blood, to touch the blood, to have a relationship with it. And where the husband comes into that is the providing the space for this to happen. So first of all, is a relationship one-on-one, woman with her blood. And then, of course, it's a healing of the entire unit together with the thing. Because we have a lot of shame, we carry a lot of baggage, and that's a fact. I just wanted to say the quick story of our eldest daughter going to buy pads in a shop, and the woman at the till put them in a paper bag. And I remember Anya laughing, and just, she said provocatively, she just pulled them out of the paper bag and just walked about the place with the box in her hand, because she's like, there's nothing to hide here. Why did she even feel this woman like she had to put them in a paper bag for me? Like it's something to be ashamed of. So for me, that's like, it's an incredible success as a mother to know that my daughter feels super comfortable with that, and she doesn't feel like she has to hide it. Because that's the big issue we've had up until now, and that's why we're talking about it. There's nothing to hide, and it's a gift. The, again, the woman in that phase is super potent. What can come through is the real pure wisdom. And the more she works with it, and the more she feels safe to be with that and with herself and with that inward energy, what comes out is gold. That used to be the time women would retreat to bring wisdom to the entire tribe, when this, before the patriarchy and before all of that. We don't need to go into that now, but it's just to remember that that's like super sacred, and it is a gift. And when it starts being regarded as that again, we're going to see a lot of healing individually and collectively, I believe strongly.
Oh, what a potent point. I actually just have to feel that's maybe the pinnacle point to bring us into landing, is the, like, the ancient sacred nature of what this phase was all about. Like you mentioned earlier on in the conversation, the red tent, it was like that time where women collectively retreated, and as you say, they came back with the elixir of life, of truth, of wisdom, that the entire tribe welcomed back, like, okay, like with excited expectation, sort of like, what have you brought back now? You know, it's like, what's the new insights? And that just was infused as a way of life that everybody benefited from. And like, contrast that with the polar opposite of what has happened in life, which I speak to, you know, I mean, a lot of social control. And if you can control women, you can control society, because it's that sacred wisdom. But it's like, whatever, there's no bad story. Stuff has went down as stuff has went down. The potent part here is the undoing that's available off that. Every person listening in, and I really hope that a lot of beautiful queens get invited in on this conversation, because there's going to be so much healing energy and connection and perspective available. Just a beautiful, beautiful conversation. I'm going to do a super, super quick rundown. Just, it's like a really potent thing. It's just like, so guys, coming into landing here, super quick, a reminder, this is what you're, you know, loosen the ties off this or just radically hack this out as soon as possible. Stop the shaming, stop the sort of humorous comments. They're not humorous, they're hurtful. Is this the time of the month again? Blah, blah, blah. All of these jokes, stop doing them. Stop fearing feedback. The disgust, it's hurtful. Just hack that out. Any paradigm that, you know, that demonstrates that you perceive your woman or this experience once a month to be inconvenient. The fixing energy. It's not time for fixing energy. It's not time for that type of stuff. Indecisiveness, asking questions in the middle of that point, as Amore Mio like said, literally from a neurophysiological perspective, women don't have that capacity available to them in its fullest flow. Can they do it? Yeah, but it's going to be highly irritable for them and take a lot of willpower to do it. And you're going to get the backlash and ignorance of knowledge. Shifting into like this beautiful potent checklist of like what you can do. It's embrace it as a beautiful reality check. This is like, you know, you go to for a health check with your doctor. It's a celebration. It's like, okay, I found this thing. Because why? You want to find if there's a dysfunction unwittingly. You get to have this beautiful whole married life, intimate relationship check once a month. Only if you embrace it and bring on that like curiosity about that feedback and say it to her, like be open here. I'm open to receive feedback incessantly throughout the month, throughout the year as a part of life. Just build in that safety that you're wanting, not just that you're open to receive, you're wanting, you're yearning, you're calling on that feedback so that your beautiful queen, her nervous system can go, wow, this dude, he wants this. So it takes out the sting of her fear of, oh, am I burdening him? Am I burdening the world with this? No, she's like, you're wanting it because that's true kingship. Listen to the episode together. That was another beautiful thing from Matilda that she mentioned. Have the conversation throughout the month. How can I support you? And have that as an ongoing conversation. The more your woman comes in back in line with this, the more you support, the more the richness of that wisdom will come. I know this has been like a three and a half year process, and we're deepening with wisdom, myself and Matilda, how we do that dance. Find the diamond in the rough with the feedback. I mean, don't take it personal. It will be hot and intense. It is hot and intense. There is that distinction. It will always be hot and intense for your beautiful queen. But your masculine part here is you, the masculine pole that's embodied consciousness, its presence. That's your role. And when you start taking extreme ownership for that part, I'm telling you from firsthand experience and from with guys that I've been coaching, it actually gets easier. It gets really arguably the most enjoyable part in the month in a weird sort of way, but it does. And leadership, be decisive, guys. As Matilda said, know where the fucking nappies are. Just know where shit goes. You know, the Hoover. I mean, it's not that technical. Take the damn thing out, plug it in, and hoover it. If you see the mess, it's going to be really appreciated. And again, don't, like from a masculine perspective, don't be asking for like gold stars, like from your first grade teacher. You know, that's not the shit you're looking for. You're a powerful leader. Just do the thing, do it well, be decisive, show up in full leadership. And yeah, honor her need to go within. And the last point there that Amore Mio so beautifully said is like, bring full sacred praise of her blood, of this phase, of the unique sacred feedback and wisdom that comes back out of this. Do all of this, guys, and you will see that your woman, your queen, your beautiful goddess will, in my experience and with guys that have been working in one-on-one coaching with and coming up, Heroic Husbands, the men's circles, we're going to be doing deep dives in this on every single topic so that your nervous system can show up as a king, as an aerobic husband. And you just get to enjoy infinitely more of the open-hearted joy and bliss, which is, you know, your feminine goddess. I'm so full of love now, Murray, because like you're in this conversation with me. I have been bowled over by how much softness and love and joy and forgiveness and juice and just amazing emotional emotions that you have gifted me as I've been showing up on this topic and other topics with more masculine embodied presence. So guys, what's available to you when you turn the curve? And if it was possible by an ignorant old emotionally constipated Irish mule like myself, it's possible for any one of you. Amore mio, bellissima. Thank you so much again for bringing your open-hearted, full generosity and wisdom to us. Thanks again for coming in and just bringing your full heat for us all.
Thank you. Thank you for taking it. And thank you for inviting me in this conversation. I've loved it. It's been really great to speak to this. So, yeah, wonderful.
Guys, coming into landing, another amazing conversation with my powerful queen. The gauntlet is down there. I'm going to be speaking to this little and often, but Heroic Husbands Men's Circles is online now. The first wave is going to be coming in. There's a special price there. The intro price is 149 euros per month. It's insane. It's the introductory price. I want to get guys in. Like, there's the more men around the world that are showing up in the sacred role as husbands, the more of us guys individually and collectively as a movement can start showing up with the potency of what we've been talking with today on the point of the menstruation cycle, but beyond, like, the better the world becomes. And as you know, an extension of that, every single episode as we come into line, into landing, I remind you what our deepest purpose is: better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, beautiful, kingly day.